Good morning, Rabbi Osai. We are continuing our limud of Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer. We are now in Siman Vav of Evan HaEzer, Sif Yud Beis. And what we're going to talk about today is a very sad shaila, a terrible shaila. In my mind, one of the saddest kinds of shailas that could come across a rabbi's desk, except regular rabbis shouldn't be passing this kind of shaila. It should be a shaila that should be across a gadol b'torah's desk. So if it comes to a rabbi, the rabbi would probably, you know, defer it to a person with extraordinarily broad shoulders. The shaila is, let's say you have a man, Mr. Cohn, who's married to his wife, Mrs. Cohn. They have a wonderful marriage. They have a wonderful family. They have 12 wonderful children, all learning in the finest yeshivas, getting the finest shidduchim, and everything's the finest. And then, unfortunately, on some terrible day, Mrs. Cohn, Rachmana Litzlan, is raped. Now we know that a Kohen is not allowed to be married to somebody who is defined as a Zona. And the word Zona, we explained previously, does not mean what people might think it means in the literal translation of the word. Rather, Zona means somebody who is with a man who she wasn't allowed to be with. So, for example, a married woman is not allowed to be with anyone other than her husband. So if this woman was raped, if this Mrs. Cohn was raped, that means she was with somebody other than her cousin. Other than her husband, meaning the rapist, in which case she has a status of a zona. And now she became a zona while married to her husband, Mr. Cohn. So the question is going to be, do we have to break up this beautiful marriage when nobody did anything wrong? The husband didn't do anything wrong. The woman didn't do anything wrong. Some other person, some other terrible person, imposed himself on her and her family, and therefore are we going to have to break up this beautiful family, this beautiful relationship, this beautiful marriage, this beautiful everything, because of this terrible onus that occurred that was absolutely beyond her control and her interest, and obviously she would have wished it would never have happened. That's the shaila that we're going to deal with today. Now, what we have to also add is a wrinkle that we're going to see shortly in a minute, and that is, we have to be a little bit suspect, because if indeed she's going to be ushered to her husband, well, there's always a concern that maybe she's going to use this ploy as a technique to get out of a marriage. To everybody else, it looks like a beautiful marriage, but she's suffering terribly with this guy. Everybody else thinks she has the best husband and she has the best kids. She knows the truth. She knows that he's a miserable wretch, and she needs a good pretext to get out of this marriage. So maybe she came up with a great solution. She's going to claim, maybe this is all a farce, maybe it's all a story that she made up. She's going to claim that she was raped, and she knows, oh, her husband's a Kohen and well-known in the Jewish community as a Kohen, so they're going to have to get divorced. She just found the way out of this marriage. A marriage that she was suffering in, a marriage that she was locked in. And here, the perfect opportunity to escape without anyone being blamed for doing anything wrong. She just says she's the unfortunate victim. She's the unfortunate victim of some terrible tragedy. And here, this is her key, her ticket to freedom. So we have to be careful, because on one hand, she could abuse this opportunity. She could abuse this halacha as a means to exit a marriage that she wants to get out of. So let's see how halacha will deal with this shaila, and will we believe a woman if she does make this claim? Says the Mishnah in Nedarim. The Mishnah is going to talk about three things, but we're going to ignore two of them and only focus on one, which is our discussion. Barishona, originally, Hayu Omrim, the halacha was Shalosh Nashim Yotzos Vinotlos Ksuva. This is Gemara Nedarim Tzad Yamud Beis. Three women could get divorced and carry a ksuva on their way out, right? You pass go and collect $200 or 200 zuz. One of them is Ha'omeres Tmeya Anilacha. If a woman says that I became Tamei, I was with another man. So again, this is where a woman's saying that I willingly, nothing to do with a Kohen here, a woman tells her husband, I was Mizana. So this woman leaves and takes a ksuva. Chazru lomar, we said that shalote isha nosene senah ba'acher umekalkelas al baila, Therefore, we're worried that this woman might be using this as a pretext to get out of, maybe it really is not true, and really she just wants to get out of this marriage, and maybe she's trying to mess up the marriage, or claim that she messed up the marriage just so that she could get out of this marriage and marry someone else who she really wants to marry. And therefore, the Chacham have changed their position, and therefore Ha'omer is Tmei Ani Lach. If a woman says that I'm Tmei to you, to her husband, Tavi Raya L'dvarei, she has to bring sub-proof that indeed this event has transpired, and indeed that she is Tmei to her husband. She can't just say it. She has to bring proof. That's case number one. Case number two is a little bit of a twist. Case number two is the following. This is a question in the Gemara in Kiddushin Samach Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, what happens if the woman has an aid, one aid? She doesn't have two aid in the shoes. If she has two aid in the shoes, Mizana, of course, will force her to, to leave her marriage. If she was Mizana willingly. This is now talking about willingly. What happens if she was Mizana with only one aide? There was one aide who came and testified to a man that your wife was Mizana. And the husband doesn't know what to say, so he's shosek. Mahu. What's the halacha? Abaye says, Naaman, that aide will be believed because the husband could have, denounced the aide or could have rejected the aidus, and he didn't, he was silent. And you have an aide who says, suggests that his wife was Mizana. So we'll believe the aid. And therefore, this woman is considered to have been Mizana. Rava says, no, you can't follow one aid. Because after all, one aid is Eino Neman, because have a Davah Sheba'erva. And we know, Ein Davah Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. And this is a matter relating to Davah Sheba'erva. So therefore, you could only have two witnesses come and testify that a woman was Mizana. If one aid comes to testify a woman was Mizana, that doesn't work. Okay, so now Abai is going to explain his position. Let's see this Gemara. Amar Abai. Menah Minala, how do I know that if there's one aid who testifies that a woman was Mizana, that the aid is believed? Dahu Samya, there was a story about a blind guy. This blind guy was blind, but he had a great memory. And you know what his job was? His job was to recite braisas in front of Shmuel. To have a misader masnaisa, he would know by heart and arrange by heart and recite braisas in front of Shmuel. Yom echad nagale v'lo avakasi. One day, he was late, and Shmuel needed him. Shmuel needed it. It's sort of like if I had to give shir, my computer wasn't working. Like I wouldn't know what to do. So Shmuel had to give shir, and his right-hand man, his braisa man, who's always ready to quote the braisas that Shmuel needs, is late for the shir time. V'lo havakasi, and this blind guy wasn't coming. Shada shlicha abasrei. So Shmuel sends a shliach to find out, where's my man? Where's my guy who's going to quote all the braisas for me? Ada azo shlicha b'chad orcha. While one shlicha was going out to go find the blind guy, asa ihu b'chada. The blind guy came. I'm not sure who came where. Ki asa shliach amar ishto zinsa. The issue was that this blind man's wife, you know why he didn't come today to shir? Because he was so beside himself, his wife was Mizana. So Shmuel has to figure out, what are we going to do? His wife is Mizana. Do we have to make him divorce his wife now? She was Mizana Tachtav. She's a Sota. We know that a woman who willingly, at least, it's not talking about rape. Here it's talking about a woman who willingly is Mizana can't be with her husband anymore. She needs to get divorced. Also, Kameh D'mai Shmuel. So the Shiloh was brought to Shmuel. Amalei, Mr. Blind Man, you obviously didn't see anything happen. You're blind. You understand, or you intuited, or you figured out, or an aide told you that that she was Mizana. Imahemenlach Zilafka. If you believe, I think if you believe the aid, I think that's what it's saying. If you believe the aid, I'm not sure if you believe the aid or if you believe her. I'm not sure. Then you have to divorce her. You believe it. If you believe that she was Mizana, she told you, or the aid said that she was Mizana. So if you believe it, you have to zil afka. Go send her out. Divorce her. Vilo. But if you don't believe her, or you don't believe the aid, I'm not sure, one of the two. Lo tafik. You're not obligated. You don't have to believe her, and you don't have to believe an aid. There's only one aid. Now, what does it mean? Oh, if you believe the aid, what does it mean? Says the Gemara, my love. What does it mean if you trust him or don't trust him? Not that you believe that your wife was Mizana, you believe the aid, whether in his testimony that the wife was or was not Mizana, but that you believe the aid, that you trust him as a human being, that he's not, he doesn't have a history of being Gazlana. Meaning, if you assume that he's an honest person, not a Gazlan, so you should believe him that he said his wife, your wife was Mizana. That's Abaye. Abaye says, therefore, unless you have a reason to assume otherwise, if you believe the aid, then you have to divorce your wife. And Rava says, no, one aid is nothing. Fine. So, in this Shaila, this is the Shaila about what? Of one aid coming to testify that the first we had the case in this Gemara Nedar where a woman said I was Mizana. The next case was this story where an aid testified that a wife was Mizana. And now we're going to see how this is going to apply in a case of a Yisrael. After we talk about the Yisrael, then we'll go to apply it to a Kohen where the risks are higher, where the stakes are much higher. Paskins the Rambam in Yisrei Bia Yudches Halachaches. Eishes Yisrael. Shana Ensa. So, what's the status of a woman who is Nansa? A regular Jewish woman, a regular married Jewish woman who gets raped, it's a sad thing, and life moves on. She and her husband move on, she goes for therapy, and life continues with her husband. Afal pi shehimu teres labayla, she's mutu labayla, she will be asura lekahuna. She won't be able to marry a kohen afterwards. Okay, now we're going to get to our shaila. What happens if you have Mrs. Cohn, who was raped, or who claims that she was raped? Will we believe her? Will we have to break this family apart? Eishes kohen she'amra labayla ne'enasti. She comes to the Bezdin and says, she comes to her husband and says, my dear husband, Mr. Cohn, I have bad news for you. Ne'enasti. I was raped, and therefore you have to give me a get. Oh, shagagti ba'alai echad. I wasn't raped, but, you know, it was dark. I thought you were next to me, and it ends up, it was the guy, you know, it was our guest who happened to, you know, who stumbled into the wrong room. He came into our bedroom, and I didn't realize, and it was the wrong guy. It wasn't you. And he didn't rape me, but I just got confused with who it was, and I was with somebody else. That's second case. Or, thirdly, Oshaba echad vehei lo aleha. A man knocks on his door, Mr. Cohn's door, and says, I have bad news for you. I saw your wife was Mizana. Shezinsa, bein ba'ones, bein baratzon. Whether the man says that your wife did it intentionally or unintentionally, she was raped or she wasn't raped, that's all a moot point. Because it's an Eishes Kohen. In all these cases, Harezu eina asura alav. In all these cases, she will not be asur on him. In all these cases, eina asura alav, because shema eineha nasna ba'achar. Maybe this is all a farce. It's all a lie. It's all a ploy for her to get out of this marriage that she so desperately wants to escape. So how could she escape a marriage? Normally a woman can't force her husband to give a get. Well, if she's married to Mr. Cohen and she's an Eishes Kohen, she could say that she was either raped or willingly with somebody else. And, well, if she was willingly with somebody else, then that's going to make her look really bad. So it's better she'll say she was raped or she made a mistake. And then, what's the status of a married woman who's with a different man? That's called, that's a prohibited relationship. That's called a zona. That's Eishes Ish, which makes her a zona. Since she's a zona, she can't be with her kohen anymore. His arms will be twisted to have to give her a get. And therefore, since she has this ability to use this ploy, we're not going to believe her. Because Shema Eineha Nasna Ba'achar, maybe she's making this whole story up just as a way to, there's this other guy down the block that she really wants to marry. And therefore, the woman will not be believed when she says, I was raped. However, let's say the husband trusts her. She's not a liar. She would never say such a thing. They have a great relationship. They have an open line of communication. They work very well together. And, you know, she tells him this, she breaks in this terrible news. She's all distraught. He sees how she's crying and she's a miserable wretch. And what's wrong, sweetheart? You look like you haven't been, you know, for the past day or two, you've been so out of it. What's wrong? And she breaks down, crying to him, says, I was raped. So he believes her. Vim hinam meneslo. If the husband trusts either his wife or the aide, then the husband's in a difficult situation. On one hand, he doesn't have to trust them. He doesn't have to believe, but he does trust them. If he trusts them, that means he trusts that the situation is such that his wife lived with another man, otherwise known as his wife committed adultery, maybe by mistake or maybe because of a forced situation. But any time a woman is with another man, that's a prohibited relationship, that's going to be a zona. Mr. Cohn is married to a zona, and they, at least according to what he believes. And therefore, hareza yotzi kdeilotze sidei safek. Because he does believe her, again, he doesn't have to believe her. And if he doesn't believe her, he could just go on living together like nothing happened. But if he does believe her, the Shulchan Aruch concludes, then he has a safek that maybe she's a zona, and out of Yir Shamayim, it would be appropriate for him to indeed divorce her out of Safek, because indeed she might be a zona, and it's also for him to be with a zona. He's a Kohen, and he should divorce her misafek. That's the Rambam. Comes the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin these halachas very much like this Rambam. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and here we are up to Siman Vav Sif Yud Beis, Eishes Kohen. We're not going to talk about a regular woman here. We're going to talk about just an Eishes Kohen. Mrs. Cohen comes to her husband and says the following. She says to the husband, either ne'enasti, I was raped. O shagagti ba'alai acher, I got confused, it was dark, I didn't realize it, I thought it was you, I was with someone else. Or thirdly, o shaba eid echad v'heid lo alash, an eid echad comes. And again, whether it's ba'ones, whether it's baratzon, these circumstances, either her admission or the aide's testimony, in asurulav doesn't fly, because maybe it's all a ploy. Shema ina nasna ba'acher, and maybe she got one aide to testify for her. Maybe she made up the story herself, and therefore he doesn't have to divorce her. On the other hand, concludes the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam concluded, vim hina meneslo, but if he trusts her. He trusts the aide. It's his chavrusa. His chavrusa says, I have terrible news for you. I saw this and I can't believe it. And he relies on them. It's a safek, and therefore he has to divorce her. So this is the situation, that if a woman would testify that she would tell her husband that I was raped, all he could do is say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you for a second. And if he doesn't believe her, then the marriage continues. On the other hand, if they have a very good communication model and they really are always honest with each other, and she never, you know, sometimes you have a woman who gets dramatic and she, you know, gets very, you know, talks in hyperbole and she's dramatic. And so, okay, you don't take her so seriously. You know, she says, you know, last time she got a flat, you thought that, you know, she thought the whole world came to an end. So you take her with a, you know, not that you take your wife with a grain of salt, but you realize that sometimes she exaggerates things and she gets emotional. Okay, so such a woman would say to her husband, I was raped, so you wouldn't have to take it so seriously. But if they have a very, very clear communication and they absolute trust, and you take whatever she says at face value, so it would be proper for the Kohen to divorce his wife. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I found it interesting, you know, let me ask you a question. I don't want to talk about me and my wife, but let's say a guy says, I trust my wife, you know, about most things. Whatever she says about the kids, I trust her. Whatever she says about, you know, the carnies and oil change, I trust her. But when she says she needs a new sheitel, and she doesn't have any sheitlach, when she says she has no shoes to wear, when it comes to money and she wants to buy things, I don't really always trust her. When she says that, you know, she comes home and says, you'll never guess, sheitlech, you know, inflation has rocked the sheitel market, and a sheitel now costs $7,000. So, you know, I trust her. Anything she says about the kids, I trust her. Anything she says about other things, when it comes to prices of sheitels, I just don't trust her. She's making it up. I don't believe her that sheitels cost $7,000 because of inflation. So now the same lady walks in, who you believe for most things, but not for all things. So is this a woman, when she says that I was raped, do you believe her or not? Well, I believe her some things and not other things. This is probably something that I would believe her on, but I don't believe her for everything. So how do we know whether you believe everything she says, your wife says, or you don't? Says the Stei Chemed that for this halacha, look what I have here from the Otzra Posen. B'Stei Chemed me'inyone ishus, mevi mitiferes adam, dahainu, when do we say that if you believe her, you have to divorce her? Dahainu davka im ma'amina tomid b'chol dvareha. If you believe her about everything she says all the time, then, when she comes to you and says, I was raped, you have to believe her. But if it just happens that you believe her about many things, most things, and in this kind of conversation, she would never lie, you know that she's telling the truth, that's not sufficient a belief. If you just believe her in this situation, right, this is a serious thing. A woman comes to you, a wife comes to her husband and says, I was raped. You know, they don't make jokes about these things. You're confident that it's true. You know that she was in that park, the Central Park, late at night. She had to go, whatever, for business. And she was in a place where it could have happened. And she tells you, she came back, and you believe her. That's not sufficient belief to warrant you should divorce her because you don't believe her in all circumstances. So what we have here is an important kula that is being quoted here from the Maharik, it seems, that only if you believe her in all circumstances, always, that's the kind of belief that you have to have for your wife in order to render that you have to be ma'am in her when she says that I was nasty. Okay, that's an important parameter of what kind of belief we're talking about. So that was the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Beis Shmuel and says the following. What would happen if you don't know if you should believe her? You know that your wife, maybe she is telling the truth, maybe she's not telling the truth. She says she was raped by somebody. Maybe she even says who it was. The plumber. The plumber raped me. But you happen to know that last time the plumber was here, she didn't follow the halachas of Yichud. And she locked the door with no one else home. You weren't even in the town. You weren't Baila Be'ir. You didn't have any of the clothes of Yichud. And she locked the door, just she and the plumber. And the plumber was there for an hour, supposedly fixing the broken sink. But, I mean, you know that there was Yichud. And now she claims that she was raped. So, I mean, do you believe her? Maybe maybe she's just trying to get out of the marriage. So, but here we have an added dimension. On one hand, she's saying that I was raped. I don't really believe her. But Lamaisa, I know that she had Yichud. So does the fact that she had Yichud give more strength to her argument? Says the Beis Shmuel, Nenasti. Shulchan Aruch says, if you say Nenasti, you don't have to believe her. Nira, im yodua dinis yachada im echad, v'amra tmeya ani, ne'emenes. In such a situation, even though she doesn't have the greatest credibility record, but if you know that she was misyached, then havi raglaim ledover. That's not just the case of her claiming ne'anasti. That's claiming ne'anasti, she's claiming ne'anasti in a context, or in a framework where there's raglaim ledover, that maybe taka something did happen. We know that there was yichud. It's not that you came back from a three-day business trip and she said, by the way, while you were away, I was raped. No, it's that you know that she was taka nisyachid, there was a situation that she was be yichud with somebody, and she comes back from that situation and she claims I was raped in that situation. Oh, then it's reglaim ladavar. Then even if you don't always have the appropriate ne'amanus for her or for her in this situation about this event, but if there is reglaim ladavar by virtue of the fact that she was involved in yichud, it's going to be problematic. You'll have to assume that she was indeed raped. Similarly, we know that if a woman says, I wasn't raped, she doesn't say she was raped. She says, I was mezana. Do we believe her? Well, there we do believe her. The whole machlokes, we had a machlokes, Abai and Rav, in a case of ne'anasti, if we believe her. If a woman says, I'm tmeya, that's called a sota. A woman says that I was mezana, you know, I don't like you, I am interested in another man, I was mezana with another guy. So we believe her, he has to get divorced. So these 2 points are limitation that the Beis Shmuel says that if she was in, that she, if there was yichud and there was raglaim ledavar that something happened, or if she actually claims that she was mezana intentionally, then we will assume that it happened.
Is this the way I remember it? Is this every call about Tameani? That she's Nehemenis?
If a woman says, I don't remember. If a woman says, if a woman says Tamea Ani, I don't know. I'm not clear enough. I'm sorry. Not positive. Comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and says that, what do you mean? She was with the plumber. We just saw on the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel told us this limitation. The Beis Shmuel said that if she was misyached, then you assume the worst. Then there was raglaim ledavar, because it was yichud, there's raglaim ledavar, and she says she was raped, then you could believe her. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, wait a second, because she was misyached with a plumber, and she claims she was raped by the plumber, you'll believe her? Who's to say that? Maybe she's using this as a great excuse. The plumber came to the house. She wants to get out of this marriage. It happens to be the plumber came. She very smartly locked the door when the plumber was here. The plumber might have been just fixing the sink and the bathtub the whole time. She used that as a ploy to lock the door to be misyached with him and claim the next day that he raped me. And this is her way to get out of the marriage. That's going to be the way that's going to be raglaim ledavar, and we'll say, oh yes, we'll believe her. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when we say that there's yichud, and then there's yichud. There are different kinds of yichud. All yichud is asur, but there are some kinds of yichud that, you know, is more raglaim ledavar. Says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I don't like this Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel said that whenever there's yichud, oh, you know that something probably happened, at least if she said she was raped, and there was yichud, that's raglaim ledavar. Zakt Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in Shas Tshuvis, Madura Kama, Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger the following. Mikomo kom yesh lamar di yichud lo mikri laglaim ledavar. It's not considered laglaim ledavar. Ela hechi dehave al derech znus. A certain type of yichud that is reasonable that there was nus. What's the case? The Shulchan Aruch elsewhere in Hilchos Yichud talks about nichnasu ze achazeh vehegifa adlasas. They walked in together. It's not just like the plumber rings the bell and says, "Hi, I'm here to do your, to fix your sink," and she, please come in, and she locks the door. Not that kind of where they walk in together somewhere. They're going somewhere together, and they lock the doors behind them. That's a different kind of, a qualitatively different kind of yichud. Oh, b'yichudim noef. You have a guy who's known to be a noef. He's known to be to do terrible things. And she's misyachid with that guy. That's the kind of yichud that will generate raglaim ledavar, that if she subsequently says nanasi, we'll assume, oh, raglaim ledavar, and we'll believe her. Aval yichud da'alma, but stam, you know, a yichud, the electrician comes, or the plumber comes, and it happens to be she locked the door, she should have left the door unlocked, and she locked the door, and now she says nanasi, we're not going to have to believe her for that. That's not enough of a raglaim ledavar. So we have here Abosai is a halacha lemaisa machlokas between the Beis Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva Eiger of how much of a yichud is necessary for her to bolster her claim when she claims nanasti that we have to believe her. Is it yichud enough? Or Rabbi Akiva says only if it's a certain qualitative type of yichud that is really, you know, indicative of something probably having happened. You know, they went in together somewhere. Then you could assume something happened.
You know, I wonder, looking at the Lashon of the Beis Shmuel, because he seems to distinguish between Nanasti and Tmeani. Because if you think about it, first of all, if she says Tamea Ani, she's answering herself on this guy as well. So if she really has interest in the plumber, she just messed that up for herself. So if she says Tamea Ani, that might be a more believable thing than Nanasti, which she might still be mutter to the plumber. Furthermore, for her reputation, if she says Nanasti, she's an innocent victim. If she says Tamea Ani, that's not so good on Facebook, you know? It's going to reflect differently. So to me, I think that's what the Beis Shmuel is trying to distinguish.
I hear that. You're saying nothing to do with Yichud, just the chiluk between Anasti and Tmeid in general, the reason you're giving a svar, the reason why she'll be nemenes for Tmeid on me, because she put herself, you know, she's making herself look bad and still she said it, so we should believe her. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and she's answering herself on the bail.
Yeah, I hear that. So that's, you're saying a svara for why if she says Tmeani, we would believe her. I hear that. I hear that. That is possible. I'm just not holding that sugya of Tmeani as much, but I hear that. That very much could be. Okay, now let's talk about a frightening case. There's a real case. I want you to know, I was going through the poskim here, in the Otsar poskim, and all these shilas, they bring up the wildest, crazy shilas, but the problem is these are all real shilas. Real shilas. So people made mistakes and got raped and in war, and in the army came in and they took over the city, and the wife was home and the army soldiers moved into the house and she claimed. And these shilas are real shilas, unfortunately. And the poskim, when the shilas are true, we're answering real shilas about these situations. Look at this one shila that is very interesting. You know why it's interesting? Because it talks about someone who imagines that she was raped. Was she? I don't know. She says she was, but she was half asleep, and maybe it was a dream. You hear that? Maybe it was a dream. I don't know if it was a nightmare, or maybe it was her way of getting out of a terrible marriage. She was dreaming about something better. But look at this, Shaila. B'sefer Ezras Yisrael. Again, this is a little shtickle I cut and pasted from the Otzer HaPoskim on this simon. B'sefer Ezras Yisrael Nishal Be'eshes Kohen. Right, Mrs. Cohen. Sh'amar LaBaila, hubby, I have terrible news. I was raped. Na'anasti me'echad. When? Last night, in the middle of the night. What time? I think it was about 3 in the morning. Weren't you sleeping? Yes. Be'eshe Yashanti. She's an honest person. He always did believe her about everything else. But the only thing is that maybe she doesn't have the facts right. The Shoel, the husband says, I believe, you know, I don't mistrust her. I do trust her, theoretically. But maybe she herself wasn't clear about the situation. Shu'ulai ein ha'isha, I'm in the third line. Shu'ulai ein ha'isha shvuya bedaita. First of all, she's a little bit unstable. She already had two events of imagined things happening, and she lost it twice before. In her craziness, to daber. That's one possible. Maybe she just, you know, was hallucinating. Maybe she had a nightmare. Maybe she was dreaming. And therefore, maybe I believe her, but maybe she herself was hallucinating or was having a nightmare. And it didn't really happen. So that was the Shaila. Frightening Shaila, and I could tell you, this is a real case. And these kinds of Shailas do happen. Veheshiv, so the Posek responded that, you know what they should tell the husband? Listen to this wisdom of a Posek. You remember what the Shaila depends on? It depends whether the husband believes his wife. So what we're going to see here, he's going to say, it's not just a matter of do you believe her or do you not believe her, but maybe you could convince the husband that he shouldn't believe her because of these circumstances, because of this history, and because of the possibility of the fact that it might have been a nightmare and it might have been a dream. So let the husband therefore not believe her, not because the husband questions her her honesty, but the husband has the right to question the whole...
The accuracy.
Right, we're not questioning her honesty, we're questioning the accuracy of the events. Veheshu, this is what the Rav responded. She yadabru labal, top line. She yadabru labal, viyavinu, and we should make him understand that he doesn't have to believe her. Sha'al pi din eino tzarech lehaamina. So therefore, you know what he should do? He should not believe her. V'lo yosim lev ledvareha. Because after all, shekem shechazal horulana, chazal taught us, she'ena yishaneh manes lomar lebaila tmeya anilach. A woman can't just be believed to say, I'm tamei to you, because we're worried that maybe she's interested in some other man. So you could just not believe her if you want. Especially if Efrat Khan, especially here where there's reason to assume that she's had hallucinating things before, or that maybe she had a nightmare. If this husband listens to the rabbi and realizes that the rabbi might be saying wise things, that maybe she Taka didn't, this didn't have, maybe she didn't have Taka get raped, then she'll be Mutar Islo. And you know why we should encourage this? Because this Cohen family is a beautiful family. Why should you break up a family? Just like we all think in our own minds that how can you break up a beautiful family because Rachman the son, she was raped? That's what he's saying here. Let's convince the husband to not believe her and to realize that there might be inaccuracies so we could keep this beautiful family together. Okay, whatever. That's going on to another point. Trying to figure out
Why should we convince anybody? It's a suffix you live on a lot every day. I mean, so what are you convincing anybody for? We can convince somebody just wasn't chafed that day. You know, so that's so bad. Don't worry about it. You can keep eating. What's pshat?
You're asking a good question. From a halachic, we look at the world with halachic glasses. Halachic glasses, Beirish, let me ask you. If your six-year-old grandchild walks over to you and says, Saba, Zaidi, you see that hamburger on your plate? It's treif. Are you going to eat that hamburger? You wouldn't? I might. The six-year-old grandchild, what do they know? How do they know? There's no nemanis. They don't have to, you don't believe them. You don't have to believe them. They don't have an nemanis.
I would investigate before I ate it. Sure.
And there's no, but you hit a brick wall. Like.
Yeah, all right. So what would you do, Rabbi? You would eat it?
I would eat it. I don't know. There's no reason to assume otherwise. You don't have the nemanis. Here too, the husband has no, the chazal tell us that when a husband hears from his wife, I was raped, he has every right to assume that she's saying this as a ploy and he doesn't have to believe her. I mean, if he does believe her, if there's reason to assume otherwise, he doesn't have to believe her, and if there's reason to not to believe her, she ends up being mutter. You're saying, oh, it's still a suffix.
But it's not the same as convincing somebody. That's a different story.
I mean, we're not convincing him. We're not trying to convince him of something that's untrue. We're trying to make him aware that there are other factors here where there's a history of mental illness, where there's a possibility that she had a nightmare and imagined things. People imagine things. They feel very real. In the middle of the night, you think this happened to you, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, right, I, sometimes the nightmares can be very real for people.
I remember the Ron now, Rabbi. I know it's not part of the Rosh Hashir. But the Ron also says, Avkina Rabban the Kedushim Yinei. Rabban would make the Kedushim Hefker, so that makes Ois marry. I don't know how they do it exactly. Hefker makes Hefker.
We're not employing that here, because here that wouldn't help. Because here, whatever. I hear your suggestion, but we're not employing that. No one's saying that.
Max asks a question. What if a man comes home and tells his woman, his wife, that I find that non-Jewish women are a lot more fun than Jewish women?
Yeah.
I have a non-Jewish girlfriend. I don't want to mess up our marriage, but occasionally I'll spend the night with her. Does a wife have any rights?
That's a great shiloh. Not so much this shiloh. We're not our sugya, but a wife might be able to demand to get in that place, in that situation, and the bezin will probably require him to give her a get, even though he doesn't want to. So yeah, she would have rights in that case, I believe.
Thank you.
That's what I would assume. Okay, fine. on this topic, we have one last point. One last point, Tosfos and Ksuvos, Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Which is the inverse of Mr. Sporn's case. We know that a man could give his wife a get, whatever he wants, but a woman can't demand a get. Let's say, one second, a woman says, I can't stand my husband. He's a terrible person. He's disgusting. He smells terrible. Whatever it is, he's disgusting. He's a terrible person, he's a bad person, or he's a wonderful person, I just can't stand, whatever, the way he looks. You know, he gained 700 pounds, and I just can't bear looking at him. And he smells like a pair of socks. He hasn't showered in 3 months. Ma'asolai. So the halacha is, Amras, Tosfos quotes the, Tosfos and Ksuvos, Samach Gimel Beis, quotes the situation, the Gemara that says, if she says ma'asolai, we don't force her to stay married to him. In other words, we'll tell the man that, I'm sorry, your wife just can't bear being with you, so you have to divorce her because she can't bear being with you because of whatever situation that is reasonable. And that's her since it's her choice to leave the marriage, she's not going to get a ksuva, right? If she's choosing to leave the marriage because of her choice, she's not also going to get rewarded with a ksuva. The question is it just that we tell him to give the get, or we force him to give the get? So Rabbeinu Tam says, it can't be that we require him to give the get. You know why? Because you know what she said when, you know what she really meant when she said, I hate you, I can't bear living with you? That's just her way of covering up the fact that she's interested in some other man. Some explain that you have to force his husband to give his wife a get when she says Ma'asalai. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that can't be. We have to be worried. He's not talking about a coin here. Maybe she's using that as a ploy because she's really interested in some other man. The opposite of your case, Mr. Spohr. She's interested in some other man. So she's using this as a ploy to say that he doesn't shower enough. It's disgusting for me. I can't deal with him. That's just a ploy to get out of this marriage to marry the guy she really likes. Says Tosfos, and this is where it's going to come back and relate to us. V'yesh l'dchos, d'hasam, in the case of, Tosfos has this other case, there are other cases where a woman will collect her ksuva. The cases where we're worried that maybe she has this ploy of Shema Nasna Ina Ba'acher, that's always where she's going to collect her ksuva. We're worried that if she says, I want out of the marriage, she'll collect her ksuva and maybe she's interested in somebody else. But here, where she says Ma'asalai, what she's really doing is allowing herself out of the marriage, but she's going to be losing her ksuva. If she's going to be losing her ksuva, we don't assume that Shema Nasna Ina Ba'acher. So that's what Tosfos says here. Tosfos says that when a woman says Ma'asalai, she's going to lose her ksuva. Once she's willing to lose her ksuva, we're no longer concerned that she's doing it as a ploy to get out of the marriage because she's going to lose so much money by making this claim.
Well, if she's got somebody who's really ready to marry her and they've gotten
and he's rich.
Far longer. Well, not rich. She's taken care of. She's provided for. Higher. Now, that's more important to her than...
Okay. Okay, I'm not sure why I wanted to bring in this Tosfos. Let's leave it for that. Fine. So that was what we did until now was one set of halachas. A woman claims that, just to review everything that we've did until now, a woman claims that I was raped. She's married to a Kohen. It really depends if the Kohen believes her. If the Kohen believes her fully, as we said, and he always believes her, then he should divorce her out of safety. But if he doesn't believe her, then he could just continue ignoring her, saying maybe you're just making that up to get out of the marriage. And I don't have to believe it. We can continue marrying. We can continue as a husband and wife.
In the case of Team Macy, why don't we say he had raised some Atzmi Russia? I'm trying to think. There has to be an answer to that. In the case of Team Macy, that means I did it willingly. Why don't you believe her? In the famous case, Ravat and Rovea, all of those cases are, they admitted to something that they did willingly. You don't believe it.
That's a very good question. If somebody says nitmesi, meaning I was mezana, we believe her. Why don't we say ena demesa matzmo rasha?
Well, that's where there are adverse consequences. Here, it's good for her. But we don't punish a person based on that. We don't fine a person. But here, it's letovata.
Why is it letovata?
Because she wants to get out of... we're not worried if she wants to get out of the marriage. I thought
right, the overriding thing is the woman wants to be married. That's all over the summit, right?
She wants if she has...
I mean, not in this case. Yeah, not necessarily in this case. Not if she's being mizana with other men. You know, obviously, right. She's not so into this relationship. She's being mizana with other men. I hear your question. It's a good ksuvis question.
I think we believe her regarding herself, that she offers herself to him, but she can't have otherwise adverse consequences to him. That's why, for example, as you said, she loses the ksuva.
So I think if I could say what David is saying, in other words, as I was sort of thinking, is that Shavya Nasha Chaticha Di Sura. Is that what you're saying, Reb David?
Yes.
So the reason why I don't know if that would be a good answer is because in the case of the Kohen, the Eishes Kohen, when she says that I was raped.
What
happens when she says that she's raped? Shouldn't you apply Shavya? No, but if we don't use the lumdas of Shavya Nashi Chaticha Di Surah. If she says that she was raped and it would be true, guess what? The same way that the Mr. Cohn can't live with Mrs. Cohn once she's raped, she's a zona. Guess what? Mrs. Cohn, the zona, why is she a zona? Because she was raped, can't live with her husband, Mr. Cohn. So Shavya Nashi Chaticha Di Yisur should ask her to be with her husband. And yet, as Berish asked a few minutes ago, the husband could simply say, I don't believe you, and they could go on living happily married. But Shavya Nashi Chaticha Di Yisur, like, how could she stay married to him? How could she... You know, how could she be with him? You know, very nice, he could be with her. He doesn't believe her. But she said, she knows that she was raped. You don't want to believe me? Don't believe me, but I know that I was raped. If I know that I was raped, that means I'm a zona, and you're a Kohen, I can't be with you. And yet the marriage continues. So that's why, Reb David, I see that maybe we're not using the regular halach of Shavya Nashi Chaticha Di Yisura in this model, in this situation. Why don't we use the Shavya Nafshe? I don't really know. That's why I didn't want to say that concept, which is what you were saying, Reb David, of Shavya Nashi Chaticha Di Yisura. Okay, I want to, should we do this sif now? Maybe we will stop here. The next sif, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about next week. The next sif is a very simple case. Everything we just talked about was a woman said, while she's married, I was raped. If whether we believe her or not, what happens if she really was raped? If she really was raped, then she violated, maybe by onus, it wasn't her fault, eishes ish. And if it's eishes ish, that's a prohibited marriage, a prohibited union, and therefore she has a din of a zona. If she has a din of a zona, she can't be married to a kohen. So maybe the husband won't believe her. The question we'll talk about next week is what happens if this marriage ends, her husband dies, now she wants to get married the next time. Who does she want to marry? She wants to marry a... another Kohen. She likes Truma food. She likes Kohanim. She likes their vibrant personalities that Kohanim often have. And therefore, she wants to marry another Kohen. But wait a second. You remember what she told us in her first marriage? She claimed, her husband didn't believe her, but she announced that she was raped in her first marriage. In other words, she announced that she had a prohibited union. In other words, she announced that she was a zona. Now she wants to, her husband didn't believe her, we didn't break up the first wedding, the first marriage, the first family. But now that she wants to marry another man, who wants to marry another man? This zona wants to marry a Kohen? Well, we believe her after the first marriage is over and we didn't believe her. Now she wants to enter new marriage with a Kohen. Will she be able to? That, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about next week. So let's stop the recording here.